33-year-old Brooks William Houck of 113 Glenview Drive was the last person seen with Rogers at his family's farm Friday nights, according to a police investigation.
35-year-old Crystal Rogers was last seen by her live-in boyfriend and father of her 2-year-old son on Friday, July 3rd. The only sign of Rogers, her car, found alongside this parkway, an area family says she rarely visited.
I know she went in that car.
Her keys, purse, uncharged cell phone, recovered inside the car.
I'm 100% completely innocent in this. I want the emphasis to remain on Crystal's safe return.
Crystal's family not convinced by Houck's story.
He's had no emotion. It's like nothing's changed to him and to us. Our whole world has changed.
I can't understand how you live with the mother of your baby for 3.5 years and you don't report her missing. I just want to find her and bring her home.
Rogers was last seen on July 3rd with her boyfriend, Brooks Houck. The sheriff says he is now considered a suspect in her disappearance. Sheriff Mattingly says the investigation is still ongoing.
Obviously, if I had what I needed, have people lodged in jail. And hopefully, with the totality of the things that we're doing, we combine them together and we can do that.
His brother has been fired from the police department, accused of interfering with the investigation.
Nick Houck is no longer an officer here at the Bardstown Police Department, and the Nelson County Sheriff seems to have made up his mind about who's responsible for Crystal Rogers' disappearance.
Crystal Rogers was extremely close with her family. She has had no contact with her family. There's certain things that people do when they exist on this earth, and she has vanished from earth. I think it's safe to say that she's dead.
Welcome back to True Crime Brewery. I'm Jill.
And I'm Dick.
Tonight, we're talking about Crystal Rogers. The episode is called For the Love of Crystal, The Search for Crystal Rogers.
A very clever title.
Thank you. I worked a long time on that. So let's just do a little background before we get to the beer. Now, Crystal Rogers was last seen on her boyfriend's family farm in Kentucky on July 3rd, 2015. Her car was found abandoned on the Bluegrass Parkway on Sunday, July 5th. Her cell phone, her purse were still inside the car, and the car was unlocked. The car had a flat tire, which police determined was caused by a nail. Now, Crystal's family immediately believed that her boyfriend, Brooks Houck, had something to do with her disappearance.
So I take it they didn't like him.
No, especially after this.
For sure.
He was the last person to see Crystal, as far as we know. The two had lived together for over 3 years in a 3-bedroom home with Crystal's 5 children, and the youngest was Brooks' child. Now, Brooks was not the one to report Crystal missing, and her family believed that he was not as involved in her search as he should have been either. But Brooks was cooperative, according to the police. Still, Crystal's mom said that Brooks showed no emotion, like nothing in his life had really changed. He was just going ahead like business as usual after Crystal disappeared. So a lot has happened in this past year regarding Crystal, and we're going to talk about all that. As we said, the anniversary of her disappearance just passed, a little over a week ago, actually. And I'm going to read some 5-star reviews, and then we'll have Dick do our beer. And then we'll go ahead and start our conversation. Okay? Sound like a plan?
Good plan. Let's go.
Okay. The 5-star reviews I'm going to read today. Hopefully we don't have to start reading the 3-star reviews. The first one says, one of my new favorites. It's by Spiritual Warrior 29. I'm so happy to have found this podcast. I love the couple's different point of views and the review of the great beer of the evening. I think they do very well at this, and I can't wait to listen to future episodes. I was ecstatic to listen to the mystery of Dark Waters, as I've never heard one talk too much about it. It's terrifying and perplexing. Also, I've learned about new cases like the missing 18-month-old Ayla. How terribly sad. And it was a sad case, but one that needed to be put out into the world. Please keep doing what you're doing, guys. You make my day with each new podcast. I like that this is one that isn't so graphic. One podcast I listened to added audio of a true murder that nearly gave me PTSD.
I wonder how you get an audio of a murder.
Yeah, I don't even want to know.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Love you guys, Katie. And the next one I'm going to read, which I really liked, it says, Murder with a Heart. A nice, kind look at murder. The hosts are empathetic, respectful, and knowledgeable. The whole show is oddly relaxing to listen to, considering the subject matter. I liked that one a lot. And the next one I have is from Will and Susie. Oh, by the way, Murder with the Heart was by Movie Sal. Sorry, I forgot to mention the name.
Oh, please, don't forget the names.
No. So the next one by Will and Susie says, great podcast. This has quickly become one of my favorite podcasts. It is well done, well researched, and I always learn something new, even about cases I thought that I knew. The hosts are great. I really enjoy listening to their conversation and feel like I am a part of it. I love it when a new episode comes down. Keep up the excellent work.
Well, that's a very nice review.
Yeah.
Three nice reviews.
Thanks.
Thanks, okay. Folks.
Spiritual Warrior 29, Movie Sal, and Will and Susie, welcome to the brewery, guys.
Welcome.
And we really appreciate your positive feedback. Now, Bill. I don't know who Bill is, I promise.
Okay.
Now, Dick has a beer that he'd like to tell us about.
It's some kind of Freudian slip there, huh?
Yeah.
As long as you're not moaning, Bill, when we're in bed.
I shouldn't be.
Okay. I hope not.
Okay.
So what I did for today, we have a Kentucky disappearance or a Kentucky crime. So I decided, of course, to do a Kentucky beer. And I found out that I haven't had too many Kentucky beers. Except fortunately, there's a brewery in Louisville called Against the Grain Brewery. And somehow they distribute to Maine. And I've had a few of their beers.
Nice.
So I decided to do a slightly different style beer, just in the interest of trying new things. The beer is called McFannybow.
It's nice name. I like that.
McFannybaw. I hope I pronounce it correctly. Anyway, McFannybaw, or Bow, is a Rauch beer. Rauch is German for smoke. So this is an old German style beer with origins dating back to the 1500s. Mm-hmm. It's typically very dark. And the smoke comes about because the malt is dried over an open fire of wood, which imparts a unique smokiness to the beer. And the smokiness, when you drink it, can be assertive enough to taste like smoked meat.
Mm.
I know. Now, most people consider Rauch beers to be an acquired taste.
Yeah, I could see that.
But they can be very nice. And this beer is a pretty nice beer, pretty nice example. It's a hazy dark amber color with a very small tan head. And you can tell that's a Rauch beer right away from the aroma. It's got a smoky, peat-like aroma. And there's some caramel in the aroma also. And then the taste is a very smoky taste. It tastes almost like lightly salted bacon.
Okay.
For real.
It doesn't sound very thirst-quenching.
It has some caramel and a hint of bourbon.
Okay.
No, it's probably not a beer that you'd be drinking on a hot, humid summer day.
Right.
That's more of a winter beer. But very nice.
Okay.
And I think people ought to try some Rauch beers and see for themselves if they like them or not.
Well, maybe in the future you can bring us some more reviews of those types of beers.
Maybe the next time I get one, I'll let you drink some of it and you can review it yourself.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Okay.
All right. That's the review.
All right. Well, thanks, Dickie. So we're going to head on down to the quiet end of the bar. I see there's a kind of a lonely-looking guy down there. He's bent over his whiskey.
Well, we are in Kentucky, and I think they drink a lot of bourbon and stuff in Kentucky.
Okay.
And he does look like he could use some company.
Yeah, I think we'll go down to his end, and it seems pretty quiet down there. And we'll talk over For the Love of Crystal.
I think that's a great idea. I hope that poor old guy appreciates us.
Now, Crystal Rogers, a 35-year-old mother of five, including a 2-year-old boy she had with her boyfriend Brooks Hauk, vanished from the home the couple shared in Bardstown, Kentucky, on July 3, 2015. So it was just barely over a year ago.
And Bardstown's quite an interesting town.
Yeah, what did you find out about it?
Well, it's a small town. It's got a population of just over 14,000 people. The official Bardstown website describes Bardstown as a small, friendly community. It's also known as the bourbon capital of the world.
Wow.
Aside from the distilleries that are in town, Maker's Mark Distillery is nestled up in the hills of Loretto, which is just outside of town.
I did see a picture of her with a Maker's Mark barrel behind her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maker's Mark is one of the premium bourbons.
It's a big one. It's the one with the wax, the red wax.
Yeah. It's a big time one.
Yep.
The other kind of cool thing about Bardstown, it was recognized as one of the 100 best small towns in America and was featured in the book, 1,000 Places to See Before You Die. Yeah, so it's got some fame.
Okay, I wouldn't have known that. Thank you. It's great that you found that out. Now, over 100 people volunteered to help with Crystal's family's search for her. But according to Crystal's parents and her sister, Brooks Hauk did not help in the least. Not one bit.
He didn't get involved at all in the search?
No.
So let me get this straight. She's seen and goes missing, and he doesn't even report her missing or is concerned about her missing, doesn't help out with her search.
No.
And it's the parents that do all this.
Yeah. Close family, from what I could tell. Pretty close family, yeah.
Okay.
Now,
so your radar immediately goes up about the boyfriend.
Well, it usually does anyway, but this one, sure. There's some extra reasons why, sure.
Okay.
Now, Crystal's mom said he hasn't participated or communicated with us at all. It's like nothing has changed for him. Now, Brooks has been described as showing no emotion about Crystal's disappearance either. He's denied these allegations, however, and we couldn't find any evidence, though, that he or any of his family members made any efforts to find Crystal.
So is this guy someone who hasn't always had a good relationship? It sounds like Crystal's parents and family didn't really approve of him or didn't think very highly of him.
I think it was shaky from the start.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had the baby together. They weren't married. You know, she wasn't sure she wanted to be with him. It was a little off and on, but after they had the baby, they lived together, and that's where she would be expected to be at night. That's her home. Right.
Right. And at the same time, she wouldn't just up and leave the baby.
Right. Correct. That's the thing that people said.
Okay.
Now, her father was actually the one to report Crystal missing. As we said, it wasn't Brooks. And although Brooks was the last person to see Crystal on Friday, July 3rd, Brooks told the police that he went to bed around 11 p.m. that night, but Crystal was up playing games on her cell phone when he went to bed. So I'm assuming the kids are in bed. It's around 11. He goes off to bed, and he says she's up on her phone playing games. Which, right. You know, those phone games can be addictive, so
well, sure.
That's not unbelievable.
I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that statement.
Okay. Now, Brooks said Crystal was gone when he woke up the next morning. But he also said that it wasn't unusual because they had a troubled relationship, and she would regularly spend nights away with family members. So he claims he wasn't concerned that she wasn't at home that morning.
Yeah, I know, but something doesn't quite ring true there. I mean, it doesn't sound like they had angry words or anything. He went to bed, she stayed up to play games on her phone.
Right.
So there wasn't any sounds of any fighting or arguments.
No, he denied that they had an argument that evening.
So then he wakes up and she's not there, and his immediate assumption is, oh, she must have spent the night at a friend's house.
And the very odd thing about that is that her friends and family hadn't heard from her, and that the baby was left behind.
Right.
Which they all say she wouldn't have done.
Yeah. So, see, there's some more weirdness about this.
Sure. Now, when questioned regarding Brooke and Crystal's relationship, Crystal's sister, named Brooke Ballard, said that Crystal had spent the night with family maybe one or two times during her 3 years with Brooks, but she would never have left her two-year-old behind, like we said. Now, still, Brooks did deny that Crystal's absence was unusual to him, and that morning he went out to his 4th of July activities, just as planned, and he didn't voice any concerns about Crystal to his family or his friends.
That's just weird. So she's missing. Well, I guess he's trying to deny that she's missing.
Sure. Well, let's not jump right on the blame the boyfriend bandwagon. Let's try and be objective here.
Okay.
Okay, but so
this just sounds really suspicious.
So she's not
already.
There. He wakes up, she's not there. So I'm hoping he took the kids to the activities, thinking Crystal would be back. I'm not sure.
Well, that sounds like wistful thinking. I don't know. But he did go to the 4th of July celebration.
He certainly did,
and
yes.
And apparently acted as if nothing was amiss.
Sure, yes. And I don't know what the older kids thought. That's one thing I wasn't able to find out, because she did have 5 children. So anyway, Crystal's family reported her missing on July 5th. Just hours after the report was made, her family contacted the police again to tell them that they had found Crystal's 2007 Chevy abandoned with a flat tire near mile 14 of the Bluegrass Parkway. Now, even more concerning were the keys were still in the ignition. As I said earlier, her purse and her cell phone were inside the car as well. Now, the Nelson County Sheriff's Department went to the car, There was no trace of Crystal around the vehicle or in the immediate area. There were no signs of a struggle, no signs of an injury, and the car was also unlocked. So the fact that Crystal's car was found abandoned and that her purse and phone were left behind, well, that was very troubling for her family and friends because that's just not normal.
No. I mean, I guess you could think that she had the flat and somebody abducted her.
Sure. That's troubling.
Right.
That's very troubling. I mean, all signs point to foul play, regardless of who was involved.
Right. For sure.
Yeah. And everyone interviewed agreed that Crystal would not leave her children behind willingly. That's just not something she would have done. She was a caring mother.
Okay. So people are ruling out her just kind of running away.
Yes. That's what her family and friends are telling the police. That's just not possible.
She wouldn't do that.
She wouldn't do that. So after finding no trace of Crystal, the sheriff's office held a press conference, and that was on July 6th. At this press conference, pictures of Crystal and her 2007 maroon Chevy Impala were released. They asked for information from anyone who may have seen Crystal's car on Saturday or Sunday, or anyone who may have seen Crystal and or another person near the car. Now, they had possession of the car, and they had people who said they saw the car, although some of these stories contradicted each other, but they didn't have anyone who said that they'd actually seen anyone near the car. No one had seen Crystal driving the car, had seen Crystal outside the car, had seen anyone or any strange cars there.
Okay. Car sightings, no people sightings.
Right.
Person sightings.
Right. So no one knows if Crystal was even driving the car.
Right.
It could have just been a setup. It could have been abandoned there. Although one thing is that the flat tire, it was found to be from a nail, and the police said that they could tell that the person driving had run over a nail, or they could kind of tell the spot where it had happened and then had driven off the road because of the flat tire, because they had driven actually on the rim a little bit before they pulled over. Now, that doesn't prove that there wasn't any foul play, but it's not like the car was sitting there with a tire that was slashed or that the air had been let out of. So there was a nail.
No, I guess they can say a nail probably was not intentional.
Correct, yeah.
Although, why would you drive it for a length of time or for a distance with it flat, driving it enough that you are driving on the rim?
Well,
most people would pull right over.
Speaking for myself, there's a certain amount of denial. I've had flat tires before where I keep driving thinking, oh, well, it's low of air. I can make it. Because you don't want to pull over at the side of the road. So I've been guilty of driving a car a little too long with a flat tire, probably longer than I should have. So that's not completely implausible to me. I think as a woman, especially if it was at night when she was driving it, she probably didn't want to pull over on the side of the road at night. And well, figured, well, I have to because now I'm on the rim.
Here's another thing, another thought on that.
Okay.
Just because I'm pointing my finger at Brooks right away.
Okay.
Is that it was all staged.
Yeah,
and could that be. He put the nail into the tire and then drove it for a length of time to make it seem like an accidental thing with the nail. And then, it's just a kind of a decoy.
That's possible.
So.
Okay.
But I can certainly see your point of view that if Crystal was driving it, she's telling herself, no, it's not really flat.
Yeah.
I can get to where I'm going.
I can make it home. I've done that. And then you cause more damage, and it's really not a smart thing to do.
Right.
But I've done that. Okay. So Crystal's mother, her father, and her sister were at this press conference on the 6th of July. Brooks Hauk was not present, but the sheriff, Ed Mattingly, he told the media that Brooks wanted him to tell them that he was willing to be present. But Sheriff Mattingly did not want, he wanted to avoid any, and this is in quotes, he wanted to avoid any controversy in this office. So I guess that means he didn't want the family and Brooks in the same area together because they, you know, immediately were against each other on this.
Right. And plus, Brooks's brother is a cop.
That's another thing.
We'll talk about that somewhere down the road, but maybe that's part of the not wanting to create controversy. That he doesn't want the two brothers.
I don't think that his brother was present, though.
No, but he's a member of the police department.
Sure. Yes, he was. Was, not is.
Right.
Right. Now, the flat tire did not appear to be intentional, Sheriff Mattingly said. It was caused by a nail, and the wheel had been driven to the rim, as I said. The sheriff also said at this press conference that Brooks Houck was cooperating, and he made it very clear that he was not a suspect and he didn't want to point any fingers at anyone.
That's a diplomatic thing to say.
Diplomatic, almost a little too diplomatic for me, but I'll let it go.
Well,
I think he was protecting him a bit much.
She's been declared missing for just 24 hours, so it's pretty early to be really honed in on somebody.
Well, yeah, I can see that, but I do think that the family knew right away this isn't something Crystal would have done.
Right. No, I can see that.
I mean, maybe she would have gone off to get away a little bit in her car and could have been abducted by a stranger. But then why wasn't Brooks concerned? And now I'm leaning again to the side of blaming Brooks, but it's hard not to.
It is.
Yeah, even that early on, really hard not to.
I think this is where we're both going to end up.
Sure, we'll, yeah.
But we'll see how we get there.
Okay. Yes, it's a winding road to the end there, but I think you're right. Now, Crystal's family and friends, they conducted a search of the area near where Crystal's car was found on July the 8th. They also posted a $25,000 award that day for information leading to the discovery of Crystal. And that reward quickly rose to $40,000 as community members started adding money to it. They also, community members, started giving money to a trust fund for the children.
That's good.
Yeah. Now, it was on July 9th that Brooks actually gave an interview with Nancy Grace, our favorite HLN commentator.
My favorite.
Now, he gave an interview with her saying that he was 100% innocent, not 98, not 99, but 100%. And when he was asked why he didn't report Crystal missing, he actually said, "Why, thank you for asking me that. That's such a great question for you to ask, and I really appreciate it." Yeah. He was super kissing up to Nancy.
Well, you have to.
But it wasn't working. Nancy was not buying it.
Nancy's a shark. She'll eat you.
That's right. So when asked why he didn't report her missing, he said that they had a stressed relationship. That's how he put it.
Well, it sounds like that, and I think probably the parents would agree that it was at least a stressed relationship, maybe more than stressed.
Maybe more than stressed, yes. And also, one of Crystal's ways of dealing with that, he said, was by going to her cousin Sabrina's house. Brooks said that Crystal had gone to Sabrina's overnight many times, and then when Nancy Grace talked him into, you know, well, what do you mean by many? Is many two or three? Is many a dozen? How many is many? And he actually was able to pare that down to saying that she had spent the night at Sabrina's house approximately 4 to 6 times in their relationship.
And what does this person say? Does she agree that it's been 4 to 6 times?
No. No, she says maybe once.
Okay.
And also what the family says is that she never did that without her baby. Well, she had a 2-year-old. She never went and did that without the 2-year-old.
I can see that. You're not going to leave a 2-year-old.
No, especially if it's a guy you don't really like and you're trying to get away from him.
Yep.
You're not going to trust him to watch your baby.
Not a chance.
So Crystal's parents, Tom and Sherry Ballard, they said that they knew of Crystal staying with Sabrina just that one time previously. And that's what Sabrina and Crystal's sister Brooke also said. So nobody was backing up Brooke's story about Crystal.
About 4 to 6 times.
4 to 6 times doing that. And even Brooks himself never said that she took the baby with her before. He didn't go that far to say that.
Right.
Right. And the night that Crystal disappeared, or the last night that he saw her on July 3rd, Sabrina had not spoken with Crystal. Crystal had not called her and said she had a fight with Brooks, had not said she was coming over, or anything of that nature.
Right.
So.
And I take it that Sabrina probably also said that she did not spend that night with her.
Oh, absolutely. She hadn't even spoken to her about coming over or anything.
So.
No. Brooks also told Nancy Grace that he went to the July 4th get-together that Saturday because he was not yet concerned. And there's no record of him attempting to call Crystal that day either. Now, he also said his efforts to find Crystal, you know, when Nancy Grace said, you know, she talked to the parents, because Nancy Grace had the parents on the show as well. And the parents had said that he hadn't participated in the search at all. So Brooks' answer to that when Nancy Grace asked why he hadn't participated in the search was that he said his efforts to find Crystal were done behind the scenes with the Nelson County Sheriff's Office, and he did not give specifics regarding his search activities. When asked to give specifics, he did not do that.
Well, he probably couldn't, but he's doing secret agent work now.
Behind the scenes with the police.
Attaboy.
Let's try and hold judgment, Dickie, a little bit. Hold back on the judgment just a little right now.
I am.
Okay. So, on July 13th, Crystal's sister, Brooke Ballard, she went on Good Morning America because on the 13th, you know, it's been 10 days since Crystal's been gone. There's been no evidence or any sign of her other than her car with her belongings in it. So she spoke to Good Morning America about her concerns that Brooks Houck's story was not believable and that his behavior since Crystal's disappearance was very suspicious to Crystal's family. And at that point, the reward money for any information leading to finding Crystal was up to $71,000. Now, at this time, Brooks voluntarily took a polygraph test. And when he was asked about the results of that polygraph test, he said that it was inconclusive.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
Okay. So here's what we've got. We've got the boyfriend, the live-in boyfriend, and he hasn't seen her. Gets up in the morning. She's not there, right?
Right.
She hasn't slept with him.
Nope.
All the kids are there. None of her clothes or anything, you know, her toothbrush, none of that was gone.
And her car is gone, but all her stuff, her cell phone, her purse, everything's in the car.
Right.
So.
Yeah, we don't go anywhere without our cell phones nowadays. It just doesn't happen.
I'm worried.
Yeah, I think everybody's worried. And it's a close-knit family. The family was really worried and putting a lot of effort into looking for her.
Not Brooks.
Not Brooks so
well,
much.
No, I guess I shouldn't say that because he was doing those behind-the-scenes investigations with the police.
Sure, and those were neither denied or supported by the police, those claims.
So they just left it.
They let it lie, which is sometimes what you got to do.
Right.
So on July 29th, the Louisville Metro Police dive team searched Melody Lake in Nelson County, and dogs were brought in to search that surrounding area. As soon as the family saw the police in the area, they all went out and did some additional searching. And there were no clues, nothing leading to finding Crystal.
But there's other interesting things that came up in this case.
Okay, let me have it.
All right. So we mentioned that Brooks' brother, Nick, was a policeman in the department.
Sure.
The same department that's investigating the crime.
Right.
So I guess he wasn't actively involved in the investigation.
I don't think he was, no.
Because it's kind of a conflict of interest.
He wasn't supposed to be, right.
But it's interesting that his brother's a cop. You wonder what's going on with that.
Right.
So on September 10th, so we're now 2 months past the disappearance.
Yep.
So on September 10th, Brooks' brother, Nick, was suspended with pay for unspecified reasons. In October, after Brooks was finally named as a suspect in Crystal's disappearance, Nick was terminated from the Bardstown Police Department. Though it was revealed then that Nick Houck had received a suspension letter on September 10th calling for his eventual termination.
Yeah, so they knew that they were going to terminate him. They just hadn't shared that with the public.
Right.
And there was that video, Dickie, that we watched on YouTube. That was when Nick Houck had taken the lie detector test and he failed miserably. And he was actually in the room with the FBI agent speaking with him about this.
Right.
And the FBI agent, you know, was saying, we know that you're not being honest about this and this. And all he did was sit there and say, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Sure.
Although he never asked for a lawyer.
No. But he just figured, if I don't talk, nothing will happen.
Yeah, but the FBI guy wasn't going to let that go.
Nope.
No. So tell us a little bit more about why he was terminated.
Well, he was terminated because it was alleged that he had violated the Bardstown Police Department Code of Conduct by lying or concealing material information, immoral or improper conduct, insubordination, and official misconduct.
So in English, what did he do?
Well, in English, what he did was when Brooks was being interviewed by the police,
right.
His cell phone rings. And he says, can I take this? And he's talking on the phone, and it becomes obvious that he's talking with Nick.
Now, this is another video available on YouTube, and this is the interview of Brooks Houck shortly after Crystal was found missing. He's being interviewed by the police, and this is not the FBI agent. This is the local police.
Right. Well, the FBI agent was interviewing Nick.
Yes, that was later on.
This is Brooks's interview by the Bardstown police.
Yeah, I'm just trying to clarify that.
And I mean, Brooks talking on the cell, and he's saying, if you want me to leave, I will. So Snow, the detective in the Bardstown Police Department,
yep,
found this call fairly troubling, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Called Nick the next day asking to interview him. Nick refused to talk to him.
Can we go back just a little? Because I think that's a little confusing for me, and it might be for the listeners. So let's go back to Brooks is talking to the police, to John Snow, right?
He's talking to John Snow.
Okay.
His phone rings.
Yep.
Can I take this?
Brooks says that, yep.
And he's talking to someone.
And can we just say that this sounds very rehearsed, like he's acting when he answers this call, like he was expecting this call to come, I would think.
At least from the clip we saw on YouTube, yeah, it looks like they had concocted some story.
Yeah, that's just what I want to make sure the listeners get that out of it.
Explain the phone call.
Yeah.
And that's what transpired.
Mm-hmm. So Nick had called Brooks while Brooks was being interviewed shortly after Crystal's disappearance.
Right.
Okay. And what was inappropriate about that?
Well, he was giving advice to Brooks and had been talking to him. And he obviously shouldn't be doing that. So he was violating police protocol.
But they also have reason to believe that Nick was involved in the whole thing, and at least in a cover-up afterwards.
Sure. I mean, as it turns out, there was other things that Nick might have been involved in.
But I think they knew that right away, even though the public didn't know it. I think the police knew right away a lot of this stuff that didn't come out until later.
Yeah, I think they knew fairly quickly that the two brothers might have been in cahoots with each other.
Right.
And even other family members, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew stuff, and I see where they're going. They don't want to reveal too much of what they know so they can investigate the case.
Of course, yes.
But it sounds like they were suspicious of not just Brooks being the boyfriend of the missing person and the father of the child, but his brother.
Yeah, well, when they got to the interview with Nick after he failed the polygraph, Nick really wasn't forthcoming at all. He wouldn't come forward.
No.
Well, I guess you were already saying that. Yeah, he wasn't coming forward like he should have.
He wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah.
And he refused to be interviewed, and he said that he had nothing to say.
Okay, and this he was asked by Jon Snow, and this isn't Game of Thrones Jon Snow. This is Bardstown, Kentucky Jon Snow.
Bardstown, Kentucky Jon Snow.
Right.
And he wasn't going to be interviewed.
Okay.
And then he did end up being interviewed by the FBI, they were called in too, right?
Yes. Yep, the FBI came in.
Yeah, and didn't do well in that interview.
Okay.
So after this phone call from Nick to Brooks, while Brooks was being interviewed,
mm-hmm.
Lieutenant Snow called Nick the next day asking to interview him. Nick refused to talk to him. Then Nick's immediate supervisor, Chief McCubbin, heard about this. He called Nick and told him to cooperate with the investigation. He refused again.
Oh, okay.
So
I didn't get that the first time. Thank you. Yeah.
He's not saying anything to anybody.
Right, which isn't okay, according to his superiors. You can't do that.
No.
And right.
That's why he got terminated.
Okay. All right. So according to McCubbin, police officers have an oath and a duty to cooperate. He said that Nick had an ultimate disregard for the Nelson County Sheriff Department's investigation. McCubbin said, and I quote, "It was almost as if they had to beg a police officer to cooperate, and that is not acceptable."
No, it's not.
So documents that I've reviewed reveal that Nick testified before a grand jury back in July, and this is when suspicions were raised that he was involved with his brother in Crystal's disappearance or in the hiding of Crystal's body. Now, the same day, his police cruiser was confiscated as part of the Nelson County investigation. So this wasn't known back then to the public, but now we've heard about all that.
Yeah.
After Nick's been terminated, this all came out.
They looked at him early on.
Yes.
Back in July, shortly after the disappearance.
They seemed to have a good amount of information early on, yes. Now, Nick was interviewed by Kentucky State Police 1 week later in July, After reviews of the interview at his October 15th hearing, both Detective Snow and Chief McCubbin said that Nick seemed to be withholding information still. So he's still not opening up and being honest.
And failing polygraph tests.
Yeah, when the FBI administered the polygraph, as you said, Nick failed, and the chief called for Nick's termination. And he was actually fired that next day, which was October 16th, the day after his hearing. So, you know, it's all very shady.
It sure is.
Yeah. And I feel bad for the family because they just want to know what happened to her at this point. They've kind of given up hope by October that she'll be found alive, but they just want to know what happened.
They're getting there.
Yeah.
Or I think they are.
In October or now?
Now.
Oh, now I think they know that. They pretty know that she's not around.
There's still some other interesting stuff about this.
Yeah, tell us a little more.
So there's some stories about a white car being in the vicinity of Crystal's car.
Oh, okay.
So while they were continuing to look at that, they ended up talking to Brooks and Nick's grandmother.
Right. Yes, I remember that.
Who owned a white car.
She did, yep.
So the grandma is Anna Whiteside, who's 82 years old. Mm. And she owned a white Buick that perhaps was involved in the disappearance of Crystal.
Yeah.
And even perhaps it was used to dispose of her body.
Yeah, I believe that's the suspicion.
Anyway, so they're looking at grandma. And in May of this year, Whiteside, who had previously spoken to the investigators in interviews, invoked her Fifth Amendment right and refused to testify in court.
No, why would she do that?
Because of guilt. So she's not saying nothing. Right. And they don't even have the car, because apparently shortly after Crystal disappeared, the Buick was cleaned and sold.
Yeah, so I think they were trying to track it down and go over it. I don't know if that has happened.
But they're not going to be able to do that.
No.
So, no missing white Buick.
Now, so they don't even know who it was sold to? There's no way to figure that out?
They haven't found anything out about it yet.
Oh.
Now, Grandma's due back in court in about a week from now to be further interrogated. So it would be interesting to see if she continues to invoke the Fifth Amendment.
Right. Now, if she continues to do that, could she be arrested for withholding information if they determine that she knew something?
Sure.
Okay.
And she can be charged as well as the grandsons. She's an accessory.
No, I don't really think, and I don't know, but I'm just going to say I don't think she knew about what happened to Crystal. Let's just say it. Let's say that Brooks killed Crystal. I don't think that the grandmother was in on it or was hiding the girl's body necessarily.
No, I think the likely story is that Brooks or Nick or both of them said, Grammy, can we borrow your car? We need it for a bit.
Sure.
And she said, sure, go ahead.
Right. And then afterwards, after all this happened, talking to her attorneys, she's just doing what she needs to do or what she's told to do.
I think so.
She probably doesn't really have any information about what happened to Crystal other than she might know that they did take her car that night. She might have some suspicious information about what happened that evening or the following day for that matter.
Yeah, I think she might have suspicions, but nothing factual.
So there's something going on and people know about it. In December, Danny Singleton, a close friend and an employee of Brooks, was charged with 38 counts of perjury for lying to investigators under oath. Singleton's arrest gave Crystal's family hope that the case would soon be solved, but that didn't happen.
Lying under oath about the disappearance of Crystal?
Something, they don't give us specifics, but something in the grand jury, yeah.
Okay.
So the idea is that he was covering for Brooks in some way.
Yeah.
But then in January, two men, Vincent Nethery and Donald Howard, they were charged with falsely reporting an incident which implicated Danny Singleton. So I don't know if this would cancel out all 38 counts of perjury or if this is just one thing that they said Danny did, but it's just there seems to be some cover-up going on, like Brooks had involved some of his employees and friends in some wrongdoings to cover up whatever he did to Crystal.
Yeah, it sounds like he's trying to obfuscate things a little bit to get these guys to throw Danny, what's his name, under the bus and draw the attention away from Brooks.
Yeah. So up to this point, police have declined to share any of the details because they're still investigating.
Yeah.
But Chris, oh, go
ahead. That's, to me, that's how you do it. You don't share a lot of stuff with the public. You're trying to solve the crime.
Of course. I think you only share with them things that might help.
Sure.
Right. But I don't think that you need to share details like that. I have no problem with that.
Me either.
Yeah. Now, Crystal's parents have been trying to get custody of this baby that Crystal had with Brooks, her youngest child. Now, he lives with his father, Brooks, of course, because that's his father and his mother's gone.
Right. And Brooks hasn't been charged with anything, so.
Right. So he's been living with his father. Crystal's older four children do live with Crystal's parents, Tom and Sherry Ballard. But now, after Brooks was named a suspect, the Ballards filed a motion asking the judge to at least order Brooks to stay in Kentucky with the now three-year-old, because he had actually been trying to sell some of his real estate holdings at below market value and doing some odd things financially like that that made Crystal's family think that he may be preparing to flee with the child.
Yeah.
So if it gets to the point where he feels he's going to be charged, he could be planning. He does have some money. He has some family money. He's not a poor guy. And he could be planning to get out of there. So their motion, the Ballard's attorney stated that Brooks had been attempting to sell his real estate holdings and that he had showed evidence that he was going to flee with the child. So currently, Tom and Sherry visit their grandson just every other Saturday, which isn't very much.
No.
That's all they get for visitation. And the four siblings aren't allowed to visit with him at all. I'm not sure why that is.
Well, he's not their father. Why would they visit with him?
No, visit with the child, with their younger brother. So when they visit, when the grandparents visit the three-year-old, the three-year-old's older siblings can't come and visit him.
They can't go?
No.
Wow, that's strange.
That's horrible. That's shitty. But all of the Ballard's filings have been denied, and they're only allowed these every other Saturday visits at this point.
Yeah, and I hope they took Brooks's passport.
Well, I don't know if they did, because he hasn't been charged. If just because you're naming someone a suspect doesn't mean you can prevent them from going somewhere.
That's true.
He'd have to be charged.
I think if they're worried that he might flee.
I don't think you can do anything about that if they're not charged. Just because you're worried.
Oh, okay.
I think you have to bring charges. Yeah.
Okay. Now, there's one other interesting fact. Well, maybe more than one. But there's one very interesting fact.
Okay.
So it turns out that Crystal's disappearance is not the first time that this family has had to search for a missing loved one. In 1979, Crystal's aunt, Sherry Ballard Barnes, who was aged 19, disappeared in Bardstown. Her vehicle was found submerged in the Ohio River, but there is no signs of Sherry. They searched for years.
Yeah. Now, Sherry Barnes' remains, along with those of her unborn child, were found buried in a rural area, but that wasn't for 3 years after her disappearance. So for 3 years, the family didn't know where she was, and then her remains were found.
And they found, or they charged her husband?
Yeah, according to the archived articles that I read from the Associated Press, Eddie Barnes, her husband, was arrested, and he was ultimately convicted in 1984 of hiring a hitman to kill her.
Wow.
Yeah. And his reasoning, so he wouldn't have to pay child support.
Well, sure. That's how I'd look at it.
That's very reasonable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Now, Sherry Ballard Barnes' photo, they showed it on the local news next to a photo of Crystal, and holy shit, these women look so similar.
Well, they're related.
Yeah, but it's her aunt. I mean, you don't always look like your aunt, but
no.
Other than the 80s hairdo,
yeah,
and the fact that Crystal was, you know, 15 years older, These women look a lot alike.
Huh.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting sidelight. I guess
it
doesn't have anything to do with Crystal's disappearance.
Well, no, but it just shows you that sometimes lightning does strike twice.
For sure.
Just because you have a family tragedy, you're not immune to another one.
Right.
Which you think you should be. There's only so much a person should have to deal with.
Well, you'd think that all those things happen to other people. They don't happen to you.
Once one of these things happens to you, you should say, okay, I've paid my dues, I'm safe now.
Yeah.
But that's not the case.
It's not always the case.
No. Crystal's family, they told the Nelson County Gazette that knowing Crystal's aunt was murdered makes it even more difficult for them to deal with Crystal's situation.
Absolutely.
You think so?
Yeah, and they got to figure now at this point. It's a year. She's dead.
Well, the sheriff has said that. That's what they think.
So they have another death in the family.
Yep. Well, not just a death. Horrible death of a young person.
Another murder in the family.
Yep. The Nelson County Sheriff's Office has said that they believe Crystal met with foul play, and they believe that she is dead. And they said that in early 2016.
Okay.
Now, still, Brooks Houck or anyone else, you know, nobody's been arrested in her case.
Not yet.
I hope it's just a matter of time, but they seem to have, from what you can tell of these guys being arrested, of the brother being terminated, you wonder, why is it taking so long?
Well, again, and we've talked about this in other cases. I think they want to make sure that they're going to charge the guy and get a conviction. They don't want to charge him and have him walk.
No.
So I'm going to figure they're still investigating actively, and they're going to be able to make an arrest and get a conviction.
Right. But in the meantime, he's walking around free.
Yeah. Which I'm sure pisses a lot of people off. But
I'm sure it does. I mean, yeah. Well, the police have said that he's a suspect, and they've said that they believe she's dead.
So, there you go.
I mean, that doesn't mean he is guilty of killing her. He needs to have his trial.
He does.
Yep.
But I got to tell you that all the fingers are pointing towards Brooks.
Yes.
And or his brother.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what I think from someone who really knows nothing other than what I've read and heard. And I don't know anyone involved in the case. But here's what I think. I think that Brooks killed her. It probably wasn't planned. It was probably an argument, and he probably killed her. He may have been beating her for a while. I wouldn't be surprised. And his brother helped him out because they took the squad car into evidence, his brother's squad car.
Yeah.
And then you have the grandmother's car.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that.
Okay.
I think that's a very likely scenario.
I think so, too. Okay. Well, hopefully this case will be solved, if for nothing else, just to give some peace and to stop some of the pain for her family, although we know the pain and loss will never completely go away.
It won't.
No. Well, thanks, Dick. This was a sad case, but a good discussion.
Very sad case. And I hope if there's further things to report that we'll be able to talk about them down the road somewhere.
You like follow-up.
I love follow-up.
Okay.
I like to have things concluded.
Well, you need to keep your ears to the floorboards or whatever they say.
Ears to the ground.
Ears to the ground.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll
update
see.
Us. You know what we could do is have an episode sometime that's just an update on our cases. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Okay.
So let's do this podcast for like 6 months, and then we'll have an episode that's just an update. I think Oprah used to do that on her show, so we could probably do a better job even.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be compared to Oprah.
No. Okay. But I think that...
Not even in a good way.
Okay. But I think that would be... I like that idea.
Okay.
So let's think about doing that.
I'll have to do some digging.
Mm-hmm.
So, good.
Okay. You can listen to all of True Crime Brewery's episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, or on Google Play. If you'd like to join Tiegrabber as a friend of the brewery, there are now 3 levels of support. We have $2 a month, $3 a month, and $5 a month. And what we've been looking into, and we're almost settled on it, but not completely, are getting some coasters, some beer glasses, and some t-shirts as membership rewards. We just have to figure out what exactly the reward would be for each amount. Obviously, the higher amount, the better gift. But I like the idea of coasters.
Coasters are easy to do, and they're pretty cool.
We always are bringing home coasters from various breweries.
Well, yeah. That's what they're supposed to be.
Well, yeah. It's advertisement.
Yep.
Yep. So I'd love to make some coasters with True Crime Brewery on there. That'd be fun.
It would.
Yep. So... that's what we're thinking of doing, and hopefully we'll have that information up on the website in August, but we'll keep you informed. And in the meantime, visit us at tiegrabber.com for any more information or to leave some comments. And as always, if you are kind enough to leave a 5-star review, we're going to read it on a future episode.
We will.
And we'll welcome you to the brewery.
With open arms.
That's right. So take care, folks. Thanks for listening.
Thanks. Goodbye.